So good to have you online today, joining us from all over the world, all over San Marcos, Hays County. If you're in the house, I want to dismiss all of our junior high students right now. We have our bridge class going on, so 6th, 7th, and 8th graders can be dismissed. And we have our team will help. If they're brand new, they don't know where to go, our team will help them get to their spots. So we have a phenomenal student ministry right here at Promised Land, and I'm so thankful for the team and everybody that's contributing to that. And our online team is ready to answer any questions. If you're watching right now on Facebook or YouTube and you have any questions or prayer needs, please don't be afraid, or don't put it off posting, commenting, letting us know, sharing. We'd love to respond to you immediately and help you out. So it's Super Bowl Sunday. Can you believe it's here? And we didn't know if it was going to make it, but here it is. So how many of our Chiefs believing for the Chiefs? Any Chiefs? Are you an actual Chiefs fan, or are you just anybody but Brady or what? Any Brady folks in here? Like Brady, but I know you're not probably Bucks fans, but or maybe you are Tampa Bay people. I used to be so against Tom Brady. You know, he's the one everybody loves to hate because he just wins all the time. And I've just succumbed to him. I'm cheering him on now. I'm like, if you can win there, wow, that's amazing. So it's going to be fun. I wore my gray and blue today in honor of America's team. Come on, somebody. America's team. I know I have people in the church that are like, you hate the Cowboys, because I'm always making fun of the Cowboys, but they're just so easy to make fun of, right? But I love them. Yeah. I saw online this week, help wanted. A friend of mine has two tickets to the Super Bowl. They're box seats plus airfare and hotel accommodations. He didn't realize when he bought them, it's the same day as his wedding. And he can't go. So if you're interested and want to go instead of him, it's at St. Peter's Church in New York City at 5 p.m. Her name is Donna, and she's wearing a white dress. That's funny. Come on, y'all. That's funny. Some of y'all still haven't gotten it yet, but oh, man. So probably have some snacks lined out, ready to go, ready to watch the game. It's fun. Fun times. Commercials are fun. Probably should skip the halftime. I don't know what's going on, but sheesh, that's a disaster every year for people trying to have wholesome family lives, right? great things are happening at Promised Land. I don't know if you were here last week. Man, it was awesome. We baptized 17 people into the family of God. That's awesome. Come on, let's give a hand to them and celebrate the move of God that's going on here at Promised Land. I want to actually start a message series today talking about the church, and the title of this series, what I want to call it is, My Church is Kind of a Big Deal. My Church is Kind of a Big Deal, and I want us to talk about the church, and you know, because we get here on Sunday, you got here today, you logged on, you pushed through the excuses, and why? You know, why do we do it? Why do we go to so much effort to get here on a Sunday, pushing through, like, man, you stayed up late last night, you got things to do today, you know, you got to get in the car, you got to get the kids ready. Man, that's such a big deal, right? And then got to find a parking spot, got to get inside, got to deal with social distancing, got to deal with all the things that we deal with. But we get here, we push through it, and we're here now. And many of y'all come every week. Why do you do that? You know, I mean, it's a great question. Last week, we had so many people in this service that we had to ask people to go to an overflow situation next door, and made a big plea for people to go to the next service. So that's awesome, right? That's amazing. Why do we do it? And Why do we gather together with other people at one place on a weekly basis? Because it matters, right? It matters. Makes a difference in our lives. But why? Why? Why do we do that? You know, there's many reasons that are not the right reason, but there's still reasons why people come. Like, you know, my family always brought me. My parents always brought me when I was a kid. So now I'm bringing my kids. It's what we're supposed to do. Other people have other motives. You know, hey, I heard there's a lot of single women at church, so I'm going to go fishing, right? Or single men. Come on, there could be. Probably not the best reason to go. There's many people that get here because your life is in turmoil and you need help. And this is a place that helps people. That's true. And then once you get here, there's a lot of people. I hear this so many times over the last 17 years. This just makes me feel good to be there. This makes me feel there's something emotional, something powerful. And new folks that come have a hard time articulating that, what that is. Of course, we know that it's the Lord's presence being with us. The Spirit of the Lord is present and real and tangible. And that's what people are dabbling in when they come and they feel that emotional pick-me-up. And so there's many reasons why hundreds of people call Promised Land their home church. They call it your church, my church. And I love that. I love that people are a part of this church, Promised Land. I love that people are here on a regular basis. They're getting involved. They're getting connected. And I will say, immediately following this service over in the other building, we're going to have lunch for anybody that's interested in taking their next step with Promised Land. If you have questions, if you'd like to get more involved, if you'd like to meet us, it's where the church gets very small. We provide a meal, provide lunch, provide childcare for you in children's ministry. We'd love to answer any questions that you have. I mean, so we obviously love when people join Promised Land and say, that's my church. Yeah, that's awesome. So if you'd like to be a part of that, please come over there. If you're online, you can come. Or if you can't make it out of your house, we'll have a Zoom connection. We'll put a link up for you if you need to do that. So we love connecting with people, and we don't just, it's not just a session where we sit in there and shoot you with a bunch of information about Promised Land. It's also a chance for us then to learn about you and get to know who you are, your name, you know, what makes you up, and, you know, your stuff. And you know, we're not going to interrogate you or anything, but it's a chance for there to be a flow going. So that's happening. That's a big deal. Next steps. It happens the first of every month, but today's the first Sunday of February, so it's happening today. But I guess the question I really want to ask or say, and it's more of a statement, what if this is not really your church? What if this is not your church? And I know some of you might, the people that have been here forever, you know, you've been here since day one, 17 years. Now, this is my church. I'm not going anywhere. And that's true in some regard, that you could have some sort of, you know, place that's not shaken, that's not moving. This is where you are planted. That's a word we use a lot of time, be planted somewhere, being a part of a church. But what if it's not even yours if you've been here for a long time? So Jesus actually talked a lot about this, and there's this one scene in the Bible that's just beautiful. In fact, it's so important that when you travel to Israel, they can point to this certain place and say, this is where Jesus was. He was right here when he made this statement. It's very, very important conversation that he has with his disciples. And he asks the most important question of all time when Jesus is with him. And I think, you know, everybody has to answer this question. But this question and how it is answered makes all the difference. Jesus asks his disciples in Matthew 16:15, Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? He says, I know other people say I'm Elijah, other people say I'm a prophet, other people say I'm a teacher, but who do you say that I am? And that's a question that we all of us have to answer that question. And how we answer that question has the ability to absolutely not just, you know, live your best life now, or not just give you a good job, or not just help you find the spouse you're looking for, or get out of college finally. I mean, answering this question correctly or accurately about who Jesus is, it doesn't just affect this moment or even this sphere, this life, but it actually affects you forever and ever and ever. The way you answer this question affects eternity. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? So it's a huge question. And Peter, the disciple, answers very quickly, Jesus. So Simon Peter, this is verse 16 of chapter 16. Simon Peter replied, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock, and this is the sentence that this whole series is based on right here. What does he say? I will build. Can y'all read? Are y'all with me? Y'all looking? I will build my church. Not your church. I'm going to build my church. Huge, huge statement in here. First of all, Peter answers correctly. You are the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. Peter has this amazing proclamation, and Jesus says, yes, that's it. And you didn't just like figure that out on your own, but that's something from God. That's a revelation from God. And I'm praying, man, that everybody can hear the truth about who Jesus is. And it can confront maybe the other ideas that you have. And you have to wrestle with that. Do I believe that? Do I think that? And we all of us have to answer that on our own. We all have to make that conclusion. We all have to be at that place on by ourselves. Like, I can't just take Peter's word for that. I can't just take my wife's word for that. Now, just being around my parents who believe that their answer doesn't just like bleed off onto me. I can't get it by osmosis, by being in a room with other people that believe that. Everybody has to come to their own place, their own answer for that. So I want to, just if there's nothing else to this message, man, it is our prayer and our hope and our desire that every single person would say yes to Jesus. Say, yes, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that truth, that answer to that question, and you know, Peter's confession of that is what Jesus builds everything on. That is the foundation of his church, is the confession of who he is. You know, Peter's name, if you study, you know, the root words of all the Bible and all this, and you study Peter's name, Petra, the original, you know, name of Peter, Petra, that means rock. And so some people say, well, Peter is the rock that Jesus built his church on. I mean, Peter was the first preacher in Acts 2 and on. But that's, Peter himself is not the rock in which Jesus built his church. It is Peter's confession of who Jesus is that Jesus builds his church. So Promised Land, we can have music and lights and screens, and we can use video, and we can have online presence and cameras and strategy and next steps and free lunch and blah, 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 blah. We can have all that, but if we're not established on the truth of who Jesus is, we're not a part of his church. We're not. We're building our own name. We can have a cool name and cool logo and all that, but we're not a part of his church. I'm just here to tell you today that Promised Land is a part of Jesus's church. I get a little bit tickled when I have to deal with the business of the church, right? And because we do live in America and we live in 2021, we have to deal with bank accounts and the government and these kind of things. And so our church is recognized by the U.S. government as a what's called a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And so we're tax exempt. And if you donate to the Promised Land Church, that those donations can be written off on your taxes and on and on. Okay, so we have to deal with that. We have to have bank accounts and this. The other day, I was going to Texas Regional Bank, where we do our banking here in town, and I was going to do the transfer and send the money that you guys gave to India. And you know, it's a hard thing to do. It's not easy. You have to do a wire. It's very secure. Make sure it's going to the right place and names are all right. They have these forms that you have to fill out. And the bank was filling it out. The teller was filling it out for me. And she said, "Owner, are you the owner of Promised Land?" And I just kind of laughed, you know, thinking, no, I'm not the owner of Promised Land. I wanted to give her a study in Matthew 16:16, right there, right? Okay. Jesus said, "I will build my church." Okay, but it didn't feel like that was a good thing for the lobby. So I just said, no, I'm not the owner. You can put my name down there because I'm the pastor, but I'm not the owner. I'm just stewarding it. I'm just a manager, but this is Jesus's church. That's so important that you understand that. That's the core belief. And then there's probably new people here today, or maybe you haven't been in this gathering for very long, maybe a month, maybe 2 months. I'm so glad that you'll be able to hear this message now from the get-go, from the very beginning, that Promised Land is founded on this idea that this is not our church. This is Jesus's church. And actually, that makes our job a whole lot more important. We better do the right business, and we better have accountability, and we better have, you know, a lot of people involved in this, because this is important. It's an important truth that this is Jesus's church. But it doesn't stop there. This church is not Jesus's business. This church is not Jesus's nonprofit corporation. This church is not his project. This church is not even his hobby. But this church is his bride. I want you to think about that for a minute. This church that he's building, this church that he's a part of, where he's not doing this, you know, to do anything else but to establish relationship with us, so that we as a corporate body could be his bride. That language is so strong, right? I mean, to be a bride, to be a groom, to be coming together. It's a really big deal. So I wanna go back to the main slide as the sermon series title. When you see this title and it says, "My church is kind of a big deal," that's not me saying that, and that's not even you saying that, and that's not even us as a collective group saying that. Jesus is saying that over you. My church is kind of a big deal. You're my bride. That's awesome. That's so incredible. I want you to catch that heart that God has for you, that he wants to be with you, that he's excited about you, that we are the bride of Christ. We're his. And I want us to read the end of the Bible, Revelation 19. I know Revelation is difficult to read. It's got a lot of allegory, a lot of different symbolism and things like that, and a lot of prophecy, a lot of things that are going to happen. But it talks about in the last couple of chapters how this world that we live in, the earth that we live in, and basically the sphere of time that we live in, how it goes to the next sphere of time. Like it goes into what we would call eternity or heaven and hell, the afterlife, or, you know, when this goes to the next phase. Revelation 19:6 talks about it and illustrates it. "Then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd or a roar of a mighty ocean waves, or the crash of loud thunder. Praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Incredible. Verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him, for the time has come for the wedding feast. Get that imagery in your head. The wedding feast of the Lamb. And his bride has prepared herself. And she's been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. There is a time when we as the church come together with Jesus, and it is official, it is consummated, it is a wedding, and it is a celebration. And the era of our lives that we've all walked through before is over, and there's a new beginning in eternity with Jesus forever and ever and ever. That's awesome, right? We all want to be a part of that. But I guess the point I want to make today is that if the wedding is at the end of this era that we live in, and that's when we get married with Jesus and live with him forever and ever, then what does that make this sphere of time? You're like, what are we in right now? What happens before the wedding? Well, it's the engagement, right? We're a bride, we're a fiancé, we are anticipating that. And honestly, the engagement and that coming together, that planning, that excitement is the atmosphere that the church should be in. We're excited. We're not getting tied up too heavily in the moment that we're in, because we know the wedding's coming. I mean, we have to plan, and there's pressure, and there's, you know, aunt so-and-so that wants it a certain way, and mom wants it a certain way, and the in-law, you know, that's all wedding, earthly wedding stuff, right? But there's always this excitement in the groom and in the bride about this gonna happen, the wedding's gonna happen, it's gonna be so exciting. And not like the Super Bowl guy we talked about earlier that's not the right attitude to have. And I counsel people, you know, that are in pre-marriage era of their life, and they're talking about certain things, and I'm thinking, you know, you really need to reevaluate if you're going through this level of difficulty and you're not sure and all this before you get married. Like, this is supposed to be the most exciting part, where you're bubbly and excited. And I can't wait, because that's really what it's all about when the engagement is happening. That we anticipate and we long for our lover to be ours and ours alone, right? That vow is taken, and that finality of the wedding feels so strong. It wraps around us. And so when I say that Jesus loves you, Promised Land, and when I say Jesus wants to be with you, I want you to receive that today. Jesus really does love you, and he really does want to be with you. But I also want to make a very bold statement in saying it like this, that whenever Christ is talking about his bride or his church, he's not talking about you as an individual. He's talking about all of us together. We're a body of believers that are fitly joined together. We'll get into this in the next few weeks. A body of people that are coming together to be the bride of Christ. We've been saved collectively. We've been saved as his bride, and we call that the church. There's different local expressions of that, and Promised Land just happens to be one of them in this local area. But I want to make sure you know that nowhere in Scripture is there any place where it talks about there being Lone Ranger Christians just kind of off doing their own thing. There's nowhere in Scripture about the bride being an individual over there and an individual over there. No, the Scriptures assume that as you're reading it, you know and are aware that every single believer is supposed to be connected and attached to walking with other believers to form this body that becomes his bride. and Mary's to him. So when we gather to sing songs, it's so rich, right? It's so powerful. You can tangibly feel something different. That's the presence of the Lord coming to be with his body, the bride, in a relationship. He is with us. He loves it. He wants to dance with us. He wants to be with us. We are his bride. And I want you to also understand that when Jesus came here, he was making the first move on his bride. He was wooing us and saying, I'm going to sacrifice myself for you. I love you so much. I don't want you to be away from me. I want to be with you so much that I would come here. I would demote myself from being in heaven and being separated. I want to be with you. I want to walk on the earth with you. I want to talk and interact with you and live the ultimate life and then give myself for you because that's how much I love you. That's him wooing us and loving on us and making a move on us. Now here we are with a choice and a chance to make a move towards him. And so that's what Promised Land's going to do. We're going to keep pursuing him in that relationship. And I welcome anyone that's watching, anyone that's in the room, that's not a part of the church, to be a part of the church. And when I say the church, I'm not talking about Promised Land. Yeah, hey, if Promised Land fits what you got, you know, looking for, whatever, great. We'd love to have you here. But be a part of the church somewhere. That's what matters, and I boldly say that. Like, there's many parts of the body, different local congregations. Get in the body and get connected. I want to finish with this verse from Song of Solomon. I really feel like it's so clearly. I mean, if you've never read this book of Song of Solomon, it's a beautiful book, and it'll probably make you blush a little bit because it's kind of a racy expression of God's love towards us as his bride. But here's verse 8 and 9 of chapter 2. Ah, I hear my lover coming. He's leaping over the mountains, bounding over the hills. My lover is like a swift gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he is behind the wall, looking through the window, peering into the room. Verse 10 says, my lover said to me, rise up, my darling, come away with me, my fair one. Look, the winter is past and the rains are over and gone. The flowers are springing up and the season of singing birds have come. The cooing of the turtle doves fills the air. The fig trees are forming young fruit and the fragrant grapevines are blossoming. Rise up, my darling, come away with me, my fair one. Would you just close your eyes with me right now? And I want you to start thinking through your relationship with God right now. And, you know, do sort of a evaluation, a personal thing. This is not about anyone else or what they think of you. Or this is not about their relationship with God. This is just you and God. You and God. We have a good thing going, and we're not going to all of this expense to build our own kingdom to ourselves, but we're making a move on our lover. We're courting our fiancé. We are the church. We are the bride of Christ. He wants to be with us today. My lover,
to me.
Would you pray with me now and make it personal? Make it your own. We just want to say yes to Jesus. If you're ready for that, let's just say yes to Jesus right now. And you don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have it all planned out. He's going to lead the way, but we do have to say yes. We're ready to go. So if you're ready for that, if you're ready to say yes to Jesus, would you just, I mean, just literally say, Lord, I say yes to you today. Yes to you, Jesus. Jesus, I'm so thankful that you gave your life for me. God, I'm so thankful and trust that you did everything necessary that I might have a relationship with you. Come on, put it in your own words. Make it personal right now. Lord, I give you my life today. I surrender my heart to you today. Please forgive me of my sin. Please help me with my past. Please help me with my future, Lord. I need you, and I trust in you, Jesus. You're everything that I need, Lord. I'm eager to be with you. If there's anybody else in the house today, or anybody watching online right now that is struggling maybe or feeling long, far off from God, it's time to come home today. Maybe it's been a long week or a tough time. Let's just say, Lord, I want to be with you today. Maybe you've already surrendered your heart to him a while back, but you just been off a ways away. Lord, we are eager to be a part of your church. Come on, tell him right now. Lord, I'm eager to be a part of your church. I'm eager to be a part of your bride, Lord. I want to be in this relationship with you, God. And I'm looking forward to the day that we're going to be together forever and ever and ever. God, I'm excited about that, Lord. And I'm looking forward to it, Lord. And in the meantime, between now and that day, where we are having our wedding feast, and it's going to be an awesome day of celebration. God, I pray you're going to be with me every step of the way, Lord. I'm going to be looking to you. I'm going to be trusting in you, God. I'm going to be connecting with other believers in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody say, in Jesus' name. Oh, that was really, really soft. Let's make it a little louder. Can y'all get a little bit like Super Bowl Sunday? In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, come on, clap your hands right now. Thank you, God.
Come on, let's put our hands together. Keep clapping for Jesus and Pastor Rob and everything that's happened. And I just want to say really quick, if for the first time today you made that decision to follow Jesus, we're so proud of you. And we love you so much. And we can't say how awesome it is. It is an amazing first step. Whether you're in person or watching online, you have made the greatest decision that you're going to make. Can we put our hands together right now for everyone who chose to follow Jesus this morning? For the first time, or maybe rededicated. If that's you that I'm speaking to, if this is your first time here, or maybe you chose to put your life in Jesus' hands, I want to direct your attention to the seat back in front of you. There's a connection card there, and that's just going to kind of let us know the decision that you made today, a way that we can help you take your next step, whether it's more information on your walk with Jesus or maybe baptism or you have questions or need prayer needs. Fill that out, and where you drop off your offering, you can just slip that in there when you exit. But along with that card is also an offering card. We want to give you an opportunity to be generous financially. Whatever God has put on your heart this morning to sow into his house and to his heart, we're going to ask that if you give him by cash or check, you can use that envelope there. If you want to give online, you can go to psmchurch.com. You can give on the Realm app, or you can give via text. You can text the word Promised Land to 73256 if you've never set that up, and you can just go through a few prompts to give financially to what God is doing here at Promised Land. There are so many people in the last service, in this service, and even in the service to come who have been brought back to the Father or who have dedicated their lives to him for the first time, and it's because of you. a church body that serves, that gives, and gives financially. And so we can't say thank you enough. I want to pray for your giving this morning. Would you just hold that? And let me ask that God would bless it and bless you, the giver. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you for this opportunity to pour into your heart and into your house. God, we pray that as we just give, God, we know you would do more than we can ask, think, or imagine. We choose to just trust you and watch you just shake this church, our city, our region, our state, the world for Jesus. And so we just give to you with joy in our hearts, and we say, have your way in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Come on, say amen again. Amen. Well, before I let you out, a couple announcements I want to give you guys. I want to let you know that it's not just Super Sunday this morning. It's also Super Sunday this evening. Our Promised Land High student ministry will be meeting tonight. It's for sixth graders all the way through 12th graders, middle school and high school. You can come. We're going to have some video game tournaments going on, some food, some sporting stuff outside. We're going to have a good time all throughout the building, just hanging out. We're going to have all types of stuff for your students. So 6th to 12th grade at 6 p.m. tonight. We'd love anyone who wants to come to be there to come hang out with us. Also, I want to give you a reminder that this coming Saturday, we're having a work day here at the church. For those of you who don't know, this building, this church sits on 20 acres of beautiful hill country land. If you've never gone back and taking a walk on maybe our prayer trail or seen our volleyball court or our outdoor stage, there's just so much up this way. And there is some new additions. Pastor, I talked to us this morning about what God is doing in our hearts, but he also likes to give us a little bit of aesthetics, right? So there's some blush and concealer, come on, some eyeliner and all that stuff going on too. I'm married. I know what all that stuff is. Okay, I have to buy it now. Shout out Ulta. All right, moving on. And God is doing something even on the outside to make this place beautiful for all people that want to use it. And so we're asking, it's 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. If you are available this Saturday, come hang with us. It's for people 12 and up. And so if you're 12 and under, we're going to ask that maybe they stay home, because it's just for safety reasons. And if you are between the ages of 12 and 18, maybe just come with a parent or an adult. That way we can make sure that everyone is being safe at all times. So we love you. We're so thankful that you were here today. Everybody watching online, we love you too. We can't wait till we get to see you again. Hopefully that's real soon. We're going to start dismissing from back to front. We hope that you have a great day. We're getting you out of here. Plenty of time to go get those ribs on the grill and get ready to enjoy that game. If you are getting ribs on the grill, come find me and give me an invite. I'll be somewhere in the back of the church. Come on. We love you guys. We'll see you soon.